and turn to number 20. Page number 20. Where we'll never grow old, number 20. Let's all stand, please. I've heard of a land on a faraway strand. It's the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high.
Over in the glory.
the last. With the blood washed bone, I shall shout and sing, just over in the glory land. God who sent us to through Christ the Lord, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angels back. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join the mighty host to sing. Just over in the glory land.
Thank you. You may be seated.
All right, thank you for that good singing tonight. Let's pray for Miss Teresa as she blesses our hearts.
All of it tell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountain and plain with His praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Savior, oh, what a Savior, oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious, oh, what a Savior is mine. Where He died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving His life, a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Care. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving me courage to do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior, oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, wonderful, glorious, oh, what a Savior is mine.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let you know also that Brother Wise sends his appreciation for the love offering, mission offering, to help him with his trip. He left Tuesday, and so he said thank you, and of course, asked our prayers. The Lord will help him to have a good trip, good time in Paraguay ministering the gospel. So just continue to pray for them. All right. For Sunday, we were kind of thinking about something for our church luncheon, those that stay. We're going to put a sheet up here, and we thought about trying maybe a salad day. We did a salad about a year ago for something. I don't know if it was a revival or what it was, but I think of all the things we ever did, that got more people talking about how good they enjoyed that salad. And so I've got my wife, she's going to put a few things here, and maybe you could, you know, we'll let the church buy the lettuce and then maybe get everybody to bring the trimmings, and that won't be so hard or expensive on everybody. And so kind of think about that, and we'll put it up here and see about maybe just have a good old chef salad or something like that for Sunday. So if you'll keep that in mind and then come look at that, and we'll see what we can do together for the Lord's Day for the luncheon. Okay? All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This thing is playing again here. All right. Three things it talks about in this chapter. Some realities a wise man must face is what I've called this chapter. Again, of course, Solomon being the man that wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes written in his twilight years. Proverbs written when he was no doubt a middle-aged man. And Song of Solomon when he was a young fellow. And as the wisest man that ever lived on this earth next to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things that when Solomon speaks, we ought to pay attention to what he says. And he shows us three things in this chapter, and I don't know, we may just get to the first one, maybe we'll get to the second one, but there are some realities that a wise man must face. If a person is wise, and I think one thing that he's trying to say in this, not only this chapter, but this book and the other books that he wrote, is that it does well to pay attention to the path and the trek that other people have been through. Young men, and young men, I say young men, young ladies as well, don't always want to listen to the gray head, or some of us the receding hairline, because it's like, no, I'm going to do things my way. And most everybody, we've always been that way. It's going to be my way or the highway. And there are some things that I think that this man of God brings out in the book of Ecclesiastes that it just be well to pay attention to. So let's talk about some realities a wise man must face. First thing he says, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And the first reality that he shows us is this, that our mouths, this thing, our mouths matter. Our mouths matter. Let's see what he says. Look at verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Let's bring that to the 21st century. You know what he says? He said, when you go to church, be careful. Come in the doors of the church and rather than run your mouth so much. Okay? That's just bottom line what he's saying. Have you ever been around somebody that just talks and 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 talks? And they don't know when to be quiet. And of course, they're always the kind of people that know everything about everything. Have you ever noticed that? They are authorities on everything. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Okay? Well, what does he say? He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, lots of times, too, not only are we talking about people that maybe like to talk, but also people like to show off. There are some people that like to go to church so that you can see how well they dress. There are some people that go to church because they want to show you all the pictures of the grandchildren. They want to show you all the things that they've done, or their beautiful, expensive clothes that they went out and charged. Okay? But they're going to show out. There are people like that also. Okay? There are people that go, there are men that go. There are some churches, when they have Sunday school, the only thing they talk about are things. They don't even bring in the Bible. I've heard that. I've heard growing up in their lifetime, and they'll say things like, well, you know, in my Sunday school class, we'd have about a 45-minute Sunday school class, and 40 minutes they'd be talking about fishing stories, going to the races, things like that. And then 5 minutes of Bible. Okay? So, you know, that's just about the way it is. It says they do not consider that the things that they do are evil. Now, does this mean we're talking about something evil like satanic worship or something like that? No. But it is talking about the fact that the priority must be set. And this priority must be that we ought to be ready to hear what God's Word has to say to us. If you read, we will not turn there, but if you go sometime to the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, you will see that as John the Apostle talks to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he closes each one of those sections with the same basic phrase. He says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there must be something about that, or else God would not have put it, not twice, but seven times in relation to seven churches. So it should be something that we pay attention to. Be more ready to hear. The Lord Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, take heed what ye hear. Romans chapter 10 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's important. If I want to learn, then I must be willing to hear. All right? You know what I enjoy? I'll tell you something I enjoy thoroughly. I enjoy getting with old preachers and just listening to what they have to say. I enjoy that. I enjoy being around men like Brother Noah Fry and Dr. Billy Martin and men that have been around this thing for a while, and just listen to what they've got to say and glean from the wisdom of these dear men of God. There's nothing any greater than that. I mean, you'll learn. If you want to learn, listen to an authority. Listen to somebody that's been down the road. Listen to somebody that's been up against it. And you will have a great thing. Then it says in verse 2, he says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Have you ever made vows? Be careful how you make vows. Be careful if you make a vow to God. Because if you make a vow to God, God expects you to keep that vow. Somebody says this, they say, fool, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll never do this again. You better watch yourself. Because if you make a vow to God, God expects you to keep that vow. And you know what he says? He talks about how a foolish person makes a vow to God, because if you make a vow to God and you don't keep it, you are a fool. Be not rash with thy mouth. Do not open mouth and insert foot, ankle, calf, kneecap, thigh, hip. But a lot of people do that. He said, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Hasty means that you say something before you think about it. Ever done that? I have. And it's like you could just crawl in a hole. Because it's like, you know, I should have not said that. I could have gone, what was I thinking when I said that? You know. And that's what he's talking about. He said, Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Don't lose perspective of who is who. I am God. I am a little finite individual lives on this earth. I am helpless, and God is everything, and God is all. There are people who do foolish things like curse God. Why would anybody want to do such a foolish thing as to curse God? They do it. They talk about that little curse word, GD. Better watch who you start asking God to curse and condemn. I mean, people just flippantly use these words. This is a person who is rash with their mouth. It's hasty in their heart. Okay. Listen, therefore, let thy words be few. Verse 3 says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. How does a person get into business? There must be a dream. There must be a passion. There must be a desire to put into practice a desire for a business. Therefore, by the same principle, he says this. He said, a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. You want to know a fool? Let him open his mouth. Listen to what he's got to say, and he will take away all shadow of doubt that he's a fool. Okay? And that's what they're talking about. Verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Be careful when you make that promise. Do not say it. Do not even attempt to say, I will not keep this vow. That is a foolish person talking. And remember the theme, our mouths matter. The things that come out of our lips matter a great deal. And we are better off. And he's talking about, the fact of somebody who is making a vow to God, and he says, defer not to pay it. Do not opt out. If you commit something to God, follow through with it. Because this, we're talking about God. We're not talking about a human being. We're talking about God. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fool. A fool is somebody that makes a promise and will not keep it. God defines a fool in many ways. One of the first ways you know God says a man's a fool, woman's a fool. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. But now we're getting a little lesson here about a fool also. Because here's a fool that opens his mouth and just says anything he wants to say or she wants to say, and it gets them in big trouble. The mouth gets you in all kind of trouble. James tell you that. Oh, he talks about what a great fire that little tongue kindles. Be careful about it, don't we? Verse 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and pay not. I mean, there's just the plain simplicity of it. Don't go promising something to God, then you're going to turn back. Keep your mouth shut and don't promise something you can't do. But a foolish person will do just that. Have you ever... All right, let me ask you a question. Let's look at it from a human standpoint. People you have known in your lifetime that promised you the world. Oh, they're going to give you this and they're going to give you that, and you're waiting for it, and you know they never come through. Now, there are some reasons why, hypothetically, that happens. One reason is the fact that they might have forgotten. Second reason is they just want to look good and impress somebody. Or number 3, they're just a chronic liar. Those are 3 reasons people may promise you the world. The first 2, maybe you can get by, but that last one's a doozy. Okay. So he says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer, verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Isn't that an interesting statement? Your mouth controls your body.
Does that not sound true?
Because what is a horse? What do you do with a horse? The bit of that you put in the horse's mouth, you take it and it controls the direction of his body. You want him to go to the right? You know, click, click, click. And he pull on the tug out a little bit and he goes to the right. That big, massive, powerful body is going to go the way you tug that little rein. He's going to go just that way. The mouth controls the body. That's what he's talking about. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. I mean, we're talking to the fact that he's saying, if you were going to answer to an angel of God, just be careful what you're saying, because you've got people that are bearing witness, not only physical witness, but also spiritual plane also. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? I mean, we're talking about something that people take for granted. For instance, let's go back to the principle of what I said just a few minutes ago. How many people do you hear with your own ears,
on the job,
school, wherever, and they use the name of God? Scares me to death. I mean, they curse God. They just curse God and don't bat one single eye. And I mean, I can't even listen with that cringing. How does it come out of their mouth? They don't turn red. They don't blush. You know. With whatever it is they're doing. Okay. So it says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou unto the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude, verse 7, of dreams and many words, there are also diverse or different vanities, but fear thou God. In our lives, especially, and it doesn't just have to be young people, it can be anybody. But there comes a time in our lives in which we have to be careful what we say, because there are things that we say based on how we feel. That's tough. Boy, that's so tough. When you feel depressed, when you feel discouraged, when you feel like you're just at the end of your rope, you are at the end of the rope, and you tie a knot in the rope, and then the knot starts unraveling, you got to tie a knot in the knot. You know, it's no telling what you might say. What an encouragement Mrs. Job was to her husband. Remember what she said? Curse God and die. Boy, howdy, don't you wish you had a mate like that? But God got her back, because she had a whole bunch of children all over again, so she had some terrible cases of morning sickness and everything else. So, you know, Lord has a humorous way about him, doesn't he? Has a sense of humor. But you see that the point there, that there are people who are just going to say many words. There are also diverse vanities. And you know, the word vanities means foolishness, emptiness. Lots of foolishness, a lot of emptiness in the world. But in the midst of it, keep a principle. Fear thou God. Fear thou God. So our mouths matter. What we say matters. What comes out of our mouths matter. Now let's look at a second principle. Remember some realities a wise man must face. Number one, a wise man do well to face the fact that our mouths matter. Secondly, look at verse 8. Our worldly wealth is worthless. This is a second reality that a wise man should face. Our worldly wealth is worthless. And this is a principle that he teaches so much in Ecclesiastes, because he was one of the richest men that ever lived in his day. With that thought in mind, then he's saying, let me tell you how foolish it is to trust in wealth and riches. Because people are trying to do their best to do whatever they can to get wealth and riches. Steal, kill, cheat, lie. They don't care what they do. It was that way in his day. It's that way right now. Isn't it amazing how people will get you on the telephone? You know, that's why I sure do thank God for caller ID. Because if I don't recognize an area code, I'm not answering that phone. If I don't recognize a number, I'm not answering it. Because I've been scalded like everybody else has, and you get somebody on there, and I mean, they promise you the world. And usually when somebody promises you the world, they can't deliver anyway. Who can give you the world? Remember the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and it says George, what was his name? George said, lasso the world. Remember that? Lasso the moon, that's what it was, and give it to his girlfriend, you know. And you know, you can't do that. And some people will try to to make you feel that way. Well, worldly wealth and riches just are worthless when you look at it in the way of eternity. Verse 8 says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment, justice, and the providence, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Here's what he's saying. He said, how do we live on earth, on a planet in which people go through hardship and trials? Financial burdens. Emotional burdens. Physical infirmities. How do we make it? Because he uses a couple of examples here. He said the oppression of the poor. Then he uses an example of violent perverting of judgment and justice. In our legal systems, there is corruption. There's corruption, just as much what I tell you, sometimes I'll be honest with you. I sometimes am ashamed to say that Martinsville is my hometown. Because a few years ago, some of you remember, there was a big scandal in our sheriff's department. And I mean, it was rampant through the whole, I mean, even the sheriff himself was in on it. And it was so interesting that he was a member of an independent Baptist church up in Martinsville, and here he was. And he was in the midst of this mess and everything else. And now you look at all of that and you're thinking, my goodness. And I look, and that's corruption that he's talking about. Violent perverting of judgment and justice. Remember the old Dukes of Hazzard? Roscoe P. Coltrane. He and Boss Hogg represented the corruption of a town. And we joke about it and it was funny and I thought it was a cute show. But you know, every fiction's based on fact and reality, isn't it? Okay. Now, he uses two examples, but here's what he says. He said, marvel not at the matter. Do not be surprised at all this corruption. Do not be surprised. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Just, it's okay. It's all right. They act the way they want to. They treat you the way they want to. They treat you like a dog. They treat you, they corrupt you, they do whatever they can. But there is somebody higher than the high. And he's keeping track. And he's keeping notes. And he regards the matter. The Lord showed me something in the scriptures not long ago that just was a help to me. Do you remember that passage where the Lord Jesus is talking to the little children? And he puts the little children on his lap. And then he says, woe be it, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Woe unto them that offend one of these little ones that believe in me. For it would be better for them to take a millstone and tie it about their neck and to cast them into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones that believe in me. You know who's keeping track? The Lord's keeping track. He says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And when we try to do what's right and live for the Lord, he'll take care of us. He may not be the way we think. I guess Brother Bill and his family would think in the last year or so that things wouldn't go exactly the way that you thought it would go or would like for it to go, but hey, thank God you got your house. You got jobs. It's maybe not the ideal, but you know God's given you the grace and strength to do it and the background to do it, things that you've done in the past. I mean, you know, the Lord, the ways of the Lord are past finding out, no doubt about that. There is someone higher than the high. He keeps the books. Verse 9, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Somebody says, well, you got, if you go back now, it's not, we have a system in our land today called checks and balances. Nobody has undue power. But there was a day, and you know this as you study history, that if there was a king or a queen and they said, remember the old saying in Alice in Wonderland, off with his head, the Red Queen said that, remember? There was a principle where that was true. There were king, poor old Henry VIII, God bless him, I'm telling you what, you better not be married that dude. You better hope you don't get tickled around your neck, because that blade will come down. He beheaded his wives, he divorced his wives, he challenged the Church of England because he wanted to go against their principles of the Roman Catholic principles of divorce. And he told the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, you will give me a divorce from my wives. All kinds of corruption that went on in those days. But notice something, that as powerful as a king thinks he is, verse 9 says, the king himself is served by the field. You know that same king eats his vegetables right from the same field that a poor man does. I mean, we have a president. He eats the same kind of food we do. There are czars in Russia, and there's the Queen of England, but they eat the same kind of food we do. What's the difference? A little fancy refinery, a title, power, but they still eat like everybody else. And if they don't eat, they get sick. And if they get sick and anemic, they die. He said, you can be the king if you want to be the king, but you know you're going to eat just like anybody else. And if you don't, and if you can't eat, guess what, king? Guess what, queen? Guess what, czar? Guess what, president? Guess what, premier? You'll die like a poor man will. Verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And the more somebody gets, the more they want. And we're going to see a path. We're going to see, and I think it's in this chapter, where the principle is, when is enough enough? If I were to go see my buddy Donald Trump, I said, Donald, is it enough? I guarantee you, I know his answer. He'll say, no, it'll never be enough. Absolutely. Verse 11, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them, and what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The more you get, the more you get. What good is it going to do you? You're going to look at it. You're going to look at your back. Do you remember that? Anybody remember the old cartoon, Scrooge McDuck? From Disney. Do you remember that? And do you remember in the cartoon that he has this warehouse and it's full of gold, and he puts on a bathing suit and he goes out on top of the board and bounces off and he lands in the gold coins and swims? That's a cartoon, but you know that is so true. Because rich people can't even begin to spend what they got. He said, all I can do is look at it. Just look at it. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Why? Because he's worried about what he's got. He can't sleep well because he's afraid somebody's going to break in the house, steal from him. Poor men don't have that problem. Somebody break in my house, you know, okay, good luck. But the poor man's afraid somebody's going to knock him in the head. Verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Riches can hurt you. I guess most of us don't have to worry about going to the hospital, do we? Because we don't have that problem, but it creates problems. What kind of problems? Well, think about this. Somebody that worries all the time about their riches, what if they can't eat because they have ulcers or hernias, or their nerves break up and they're so nervous they can't eat? It's to their hurt. Verse 14, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. That man, that same man that had his wealth and had his riches, can lose it. He can have a child. At one minute, he can have the wealth, he can have the riches, and something happens in his life, and then he has nothing, and he's got a child, and now he's a pauper, and a poor man has nothing to give that child. Verse 15, As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Whenever I go to a nursing home, such as going to visit Sister Parsons, and I've talked about this before, it always breaks my heart to see some of these folks. Sister Parsons was talking about a man there, maybe in his early 60s. Can't talk. He has, I think, two legs amputated. I don't know what all's wrong with him, but he's not an old man. But that's what's wrong with him physically. And what a tragedy, because you look and you see people who live vibrant lives. And men that were architects and women who were teachers. And now they're so feeble and they're a shell of what they used to be. And they have come from cycle to cycle. They have gone from being a child to dying like a child. Yeah, you can have all the wealth and all the riches, he said, but he said, doesn't matter when they take you and they put you in that home and you don't know who you are, and somebody takes all that money and spends it. It's a sore evil. Can't carry it away in his hand. Verse 16, and this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? What does the wind do? It blows things away. You come into this world, you leave the same way you came. All points. You come in naked, you're going out naked. What's going to happen to your wealth? What's going to happen to your riches? What's going to happen to your house? What's going to happen to your car? It's all going to the wind. It was never meant to last as long as we think. Verse 17, we'll close tonight. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Let's talk about just for a second the same man. He is an old man now. He's losing his eyesight. Notice, please, it says that he is what? All his days also he eateth in darkness. Maybe his vision has gotten poor and he can't see anymore, and people have to bring him his food and he can't eat. Maybe he has to eat gruel. He can't chew because he's lost his teeth. And he's got money. He can have a T-bone steak. He can have lobster. He can have foie gras. He can have all those fancy meals, but he can't eat them, because his body is gone. It's shot. He's lived. He's given everything. He said, all his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow. I think that's one of the things that's so sad, is if you look and you see people in their twilight years, as I call it, and you look and they're angry, and they're bitter, and they're sorrowful, and they hate. Ever met people like old people like that? Isn't that sad to see elderly people who are full of hate and bitterness? If the Bible says that the joy of the Lord, when we go see Sister Parsons in a nursing home, her partner in the next bed doesn't know where she is. But then we get talking to Sister Parsons, she just smiles. She'll talk about the Lord. Talk about how she, on Sunday morning, she goes, they have a little Bible study, and she'll go to the Bible study in the solarium. And I mean, she's not bitter. And I'm thinking, you know, if you wanted to be, you could. But she's not going to be, because she got a priority right. Eyes are on Jesus. And then you see these folks and your heart goes out to them, because they just look angry. And I'm thinking, what kind of life have you lived? What kind of life have you been through? What have you had to experience? How have you been treated? Principle? Two principles. We'll finish next week with the third principle. Principle number one, our mouths matter. What comes out of our mouths matter. A fool should not promise anything, especially to God, unless they're going to keep it. Our worldly wealth is worthless. This is a principle he continues to lay into almost virtually every chapter that he talks about. Hey, money's not the answer. Our relationship with God, that's what's all important. So next week he talks about the last thing. He's going to talk about peace. How peace is also important in our lives. So we'll talk about that next week. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you for love, Jesus. We thank you for the blessings that you give us, and pray that you'll help us tonight, encourage our hearts, and teach us the principles that have been laid out here. You said that our hearts, the concern in our mouths, what we say matters. And then, Lord, we need to realize that our worldly wealth is worthless when it comes to this, the spiritual longings, the spiritual satisfaction. Help us to understand what reality is all about according to your word. Encourage our hearts and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll sing two verses of an invitation hymn.
Number 313. Jesus painted all. Number 313. If we all stand, please.
All right, let's sing the first and the second verses.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin and let the cliffs and stay.
Bless the offering for the fund, and we'll have our meetings tonight off. All right, you pray for me, brother. Sheet right here if you want to. She just wrote down some things here. If there's something you'd like to bring that's not on here, just put down what you want to bring, and then also if a dressing that you like, that would be the easiest. Instead of bringing a bunch of bottles, you bring what you like, and we'll see how that goes. So just come by and look at it, and whatever you feel like you can bring, we'll see if we can get it all worked out. So we'll put that right there. You have a good week, and we'll see you, Lord willing, on Sunday. Thank you.
believe.
Play a tune.
There you go. Play a tune.